Very warm welcome to all of you. How was your week? The time flies ever so quickly. Tomorrow we start a new day. And before you realize it, it is midweek and then weekend and then another Lord's Day. Isn't it so? Time flies. How are you spending your time? Thank God for this series of preachings and study of His Word in 2 Corinthians. Have you been blessed? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we have been dwelling on for the past few weeks. These are exciting words. I hope you are listening and paying attention, that the Holy Spirit will touch your heart as His Word is being spoken out of this holy book. Reading from verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a wonderful chapter. Have you realized it? It's so wonderful, telling us so many facts of salvation, the deeper meaning of our Lord Jesus going to the cross, paving the way for sinners back to God. And here He tells us, out of the sinners He has saved, some are called. I wonder if anyone here feels or hears the call. God is calling more to serve Him. For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There is always room for more. In the service of God, may God speak to someone today to consider how you are spending your life for the world. Why not spend it for the kingdom of God? Now we're going to read the words of one who was called to suffer. I say it's no joke to suffer. And thank God he persevered. Who was this one man? His name was called Saul. Then he became Paul. Paul meaning the little man. Not much favored in society, but much treasured in God's work. Now what does he say to us? Please read. Verse 8. Writing to the Corinthian church, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Why? Why does a servant of God suffer all these tribulations, as it were? And yet, every suffering is buttressed, backed by God's grace. Do you notice this? It says, "Troubled, but not discouraged." Amazing. How can it be? Perplexed, but not giving up, not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, not destroyed. All because Jesus has gone the way before us. Do you know that? Oh, how well do you know the Lord Jesus, and how much do you love Him? He who died for us, who loved us to that extent. Greater love has no man than this, that a man gave his life for his friend. And Jesus came, the Creator, giving his life for the creature. We are the creatures. Yes, God has made us, and now He remakes us. We are spoiled, useless, sinful, castaways, Jesus came and remade us. How wonderful. This is gospel. Verse 11. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul is writing of his experience. In Philippi, he was beaten together with Silas. Have you ever been insulted, not beaten yet? I may say, in all my ministry of these many years, there has been very little suffering, very little. As for Paul, from the moment he was called, he suffered. False brethren, fellow Jews, plotted to have him killed. Amazing. And here he is, still persevering, undaunted, not afraid. Are you afraid of being called to service of the King? As I said again, I say again, that you may hear and take note. Jesus said the fields are white to harvest. And that was 2,000 years ago. Today, more so, many times more so, fields are white to harvest. Souls are perishing. The time of harvest is fast fading away. We need laborers. Where are they? In this church? Two pastors, two trainee pastors, and the session that you are going to elect. We need more. It is not easy to find people willing to serve. Not willing, not easy. It was with much, much effort and persuasion that we are able to find 18 people to stand for election. But God needs more. And I say once again, we need you, those who have saved and received the grace of God. What are you doing about it? Oh, today, careers, as we see election fever catch on. Every day, read the papers. What do you read? Promises and promises and promises, hoping to catch more votes. We will do this, that, and the other for you. Only trust us, trust us. Let's say they're all trustworthy. Let's say they all do something wonderful. Let's say next year, suddenly all of us earn more, live better, travel better, work better. Everything's so good. What is the end point? What shall it profit a man to live better and to die with nothing to report to the King? Nothing. Consider. Now here is one who gave himself all up, everything, for Jesus Christ. Count everything but loss. Here is Paul. Now, let's see. Verse 14 says, know this, that he which raised Jesus from the dead shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. This is the theme for today's message. What is the theme? Hope. The Christian's hope. What do you mean by hope? All of us have hope. Somewhere or other, there must be hope. You go to school, you hope to graduate. You sit for an exam, you hope to pass. You apply for a job, you hope to get a good job. And you work hard, you hope for a promotion. There is always hope. Some months ago, there were miners who were caught some mild deep in the earth in a country far away from here called Chile. Did you all follow that? Day by day, minute by minute, they were waiting for signs from the trapped miners. And efforts were sent to go down, volunteers go down in special capsules to rescue, until eventually what they had hoped against hope became fact. They rescued them. Oh, what a rescue it was. Now that is something that is so precious to the whole world. The whole world is watching. Will they come out alive? Just a few simple miners' lives at stake. Think. Jesus came, and by one death, he destroyed him who had the power to give us death. By one death, his death. And he opened the way for us all to come out of that deadly chute, to be rescued from death. Is there great rejoicing now that we are all given life everlasting? This is the meaning of the gospel. Verse 14 again. Know this, that he who raised Jesus up shall raise up us also. This is gospel. And there is no other gospel than this. No other religion, no other whatever system offers you death after death. Life after death. Life after death. All other systems end in death. And that's the end. Only Jesus came back and says, as I raise, live, you will all live also. Amazing. This is the gospel for which Paul gave up everything just to go around and tell people who are dying in their sins, there is hope. That is hope. The Christian's hope is life after death. Victory over the grave. Is there any other way? Tell me if there is. We read of scientific advances. Every day we are searching in the medical field for new avenues. Now they're studying stem cells. They're studying the DNA. They're studying for clues how to treat disease. We don't say they are bad. I say, all right, try harder. Keep trying. And it's very expensive to do research. It costs millions and billions of dollars just to discover one drug that will give people an extra 1 or 2 years to live. Now everybody's puzzling how to treat Alzheimer's disease. You know what is Alzheimer's disease? I met one man who came in for prayer this morning after I preached in the Mandarin service. He says, can I speak to you? I said, well, sure. Oh, you speak Teochew. I'm Teochew. So he began to talk to me. And I prayed the prayer for him to follow. I said A, he said Z. Alzheimer's. Now people want to live long, don't you? You live long, you get into the bracket where you get Alzheimer's and a host of other diseases. So living long is not the answer. Understand, please? The answer is everlasting life. Life in Christ, life through Christ, life of God, renewed. No other way. Not by better research, not by better hospitals. Now Singapore is building bigger, nicer, state of the art. I went to one called Khoo Teck Puat Hospital. Wow, everything is so modern, so wonderful. Feel good. You feel good? Let me tell you this. Whenever I go to hospital, I get very depressed. Sending from here to there, x-ray here, x-ray there, do go laboratory tests, prick your finger, get your blood, do all these kinds of tests. What for? So that you live a bit longer. Is that right? Oh, dear friends, the answer to life's problem is not research, not better hospitals, not better clinics, not better doctors. You need the physician of your souls, Jesus Christ. And here is the solution. So, let us read on. Verse 14 is worth a read again. Know this, that he who raised up Jesus, because you have come to believe in Jesus, he will raise you up. This is a promise. Can it be so? How do I know it will be so? Answer, by faith. Oh, dear friends, Abraham was justified because he believed God's word. That's all. Are you justified? By what? By faith in the word of God, the inerrant, infallible, unopposed word of God. No one can oppose that word because it is the utterance of the Almighty Creator. And it says, as in Jesus all live, you too. Believing Jesus, you will live. This is the promise. Dare you promise? Dare you believe it? How do I believe it? Answer. Do you know the answer? By faith. Yes, you don't go and do lottery. Or any other way. There is no other way. The only way out of our troubles today is not by election. Election is a necessary process because we live in a society where there are elections, you go to for elections. But that is not the solution. Solution is in Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for us and rose for us. Do you know this? Jesus never spoke of his dying without following by saying, rising from the dead. Every time. Read the scriptures. Every time he says, I die for you, I will live for you. I will rise from the dead for you. And as I rise, you will rise also. Dare you believe it. This is the message today. This is the hope. Far more important and far more wonderful than rescuing the miners from the deep mine. There's a feat of modern technology, how they went down about a mile to snatch these dying miners and give them life again. Wonderful, wonderful. And then they will all get better and then they face death again. The natural death all of us will face. What is the solution? Verse 16. Because God has promised, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. What do you mean by outward man perish? The person you see standing here talking to you is the outward man. I can see you, the outward man. The physical man is the outward man. Now what does it say here? Verse 16 says, we faint not, we don't give up, we don't get hopeless. When we see the outward man perish, getting sick, getting cancer, getting Alzheimer's, getting Parkinson's and all kinds of things, that is the outward man perishing in the process of dying. Understand? And all of us in the outward man will end in the grave, except Jesus came and said, look unto me, be saved of the ends of the earth. In Jesus only we have this wonderful inward man. Read on now. Though the outward man perished, the middle of verse 16 now, we have an inward man which is renewed day by day. Even though you get weaker in the physical man, your inward man, the life everlasting that God has put into you, is always fresh and new, renewed as it were. doesn't grow old. And when the body is released by death, that inward man will take you straight to the kingdom of God. You understand? This is the hope for Christians. And if you are not yet a Christian, you have not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ, but hoping to get a better slice of the world, a better share of the profits outside in society, you are going the wrong way, dear friends. Please consider. Now read on. Verse 17. Being a Christian does not exempt you from affliction, you know. In fact, being a Christian can increase your sufferings in this world. It may, possible. Often it does. When you first believe, parents may be objecting. Friends leave you. When you become servant of God, they bypass you and you feel isolated, ostracized. Verse 17, our light affliction, all these are light affliction. What does it matter whether we get more or less of this earth's material blessings? What does it matter? This is a light affliction. It's but for a moment. How long can it be that you suffer from your sickness? The most is this lifetime, and how much is this lifetime? How long do you expect to live? Can somebody kindly switch the instrument off? Thank you. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While Paul knows any moment he may have his head cut off, he was under death sentence from the Caesar. Please remember, we are talking of real people. In that day, it was the Roman power. Caesar's rule, the Roman world empire. And Paul was operating under that system, and he was under sentence and threat of death. So what does he say? What does it matter? It is only a light affliction, which is for a moment. Even in my lifetime, in your lifetime, how many years do you expect to live? How many? Another 10, another 20, another 30, makes you 70, 80, 90. And then what? You think it's worthwhile living after 90 to 100 and then more? You look like a very wizened old vegetable, that's all. So we must set our sights not on this life, but on eternal life. So that all that we can suffer in this life is but light affliction, is nothing. I see our friend at the back, Vance, young man of about 20, sitting in the wheelchair the whole day. That is affliction. Now, is it light or heavy? Without Christ is a terrible affliction. You have nothing to look forward to. You die, you go like a fly, and you go into eternal suffering and perdition. That's all. That is the way it is. Now open the way through Jesus Christ, your light affliction, but for a moment. Read on to this verse. Works for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I'm reading verse 17. I read it once more for you. Our time is running on. I will finish very soon. Our light affliction is but for a moment. So I said, dear friend, dear Vance, you sit in the wheelchair. Today you are in the light affliction, but it works for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When we see Jesus, it will be revealed. Do you look forward to seeing Jesus? Do you? Dear friends, meet Him as your Savior and not judge. If you meet Him as judge, it will be terrible, terrible, because there is no second chance. Come to Him, therefore, and receive His pardon, and with it, a new body, a new hope, a new life. So that you can say, it is a light affliction. It works for me a far more exceeding and wonderful eternal weight of glory. Every one of us here, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not afraid of sickness. Of course, we do not want sickness. We all want to live healthy. And so people take all kinds of tonics, health foods, antioxidants, wonderful stuff. And they say, it will help you to live longer and more healthy. So it is. I don't doubt that they do something good. So you live a little longer. So what? What we need is not live longer by a few more years, but eternal. Here it is. This is the weight of glory through Jesus Christ alone and no one else. Now we conclude. Verse 18 is the concluding verse of this chapter. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What are the things which are seen? The sickness and the accidents and the degenerations that are inevitable, unavoidable, because we are born children of Adam. So these are the things which you cannot avoid. Don't look at those things, but look at the things which are not seen. What are the things which are not seen that Jesus alone promises? Look unto me and be saved. In me you have life everlasting, only in Jesus. No other faith, no other religion. No matter what the election people say to you, no matter what they offer, no matter what they give to you, it can only last this lifetime, if at all. And then at the end of it all, you say, what for? What for? If you have missed the real thing, what is the real thing? Life beyond death. So here it is. The things which are seen are temporal, temporary. No matter what you see. You see riches, you get riches, you live for it. It's only temporary. You see sickness because you are infected with something. Okay. The doctor say, I give me another 10 years to live. All right. So what? End of the time, what do I have? Outside Christ, nothing to look forward to. Nothing, absolutely nothing, except the punishment that is due to those who reject the salvation of God. In Christ, there's an endless hope. Without Christ, a hopeless end. Now we conclude. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Dear friends, do you have a place in the eternal kingdom of God? Do you or do you not? Only you can answer. Come to Jesus. If you are in Jesus already, you say, thank God. Thank God that my present sufferings are only temporal. But in Christ, I have eternal hope. That makes all the difference. May we go forth and tell the good news to those of our family members. How many of us who have children who do not want to be Christians anymore? How many? You do not know. Some pretend to come to church. Some pretend to be Christians. How many of them really, earnestly, in their hearts, believe? Do you know? Let's pray for one another. Let's go out and be witnesses that men and women and even those in our own families may realize not time but eternity. And in eternity, only Christ matters. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, open our eyes to understand the wonderful kingdom of God and the promises that come from the King Himself. Our Lord Jesus, the soon coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords, He has opened heaven's door for us. O Lord, may we enter, and having entered, may we go forth to seek for other lost souls wandering in this world of sin and destruction. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.